Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Whiskey Throttle Media. This is our first sight lap show of the year. This is your SMX 450 class preview for the championship season. I'm joined by Bruce Murata, one of our associate editors here and brand manager at Whiskey Throttle Media. And we're going to be going through this, taking a look at all of the riders, kind of where we think they're going to slot in and how this season's going to look, a little bit of bench racing. So, Bruce, thanks for joining me. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited for this, Ping.
I'm excited too. And there's a couple, obviously a lot of stories building to the season opener this year, but I think one thing that no one has really mentioned, and we're going to kick this off, one of the things we talk about sight lap here is weather. Anaheim's an open stadium. It's that time of year. They've been talking about this being an El Nino season for us in Southern California. El Nino. But we just looked at our weather apps. Weather Channel is showing an 86% chance of rain on Saturday. Yours showed 48% chance. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in the middle there, like at the end of the day, it's going to rain on Saturday. I don't know how much.
But it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
And that changes the complexion of things huge, right? When we start going through these riders and some of the guys that we think are players. So let's dive into it. Another change that I want to mention, and we were chatting about this. Our producer, Kyle Cowling, mentioned it. Hey, you know, the show's starting 2.5 hours earlier in an effort for them to sort of keep the East Coast fans engaged. The first heat drops at 5 o'clock West Coast time. I actually really like that because it's dark. I don't like Supercross in the daylight.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But at 5 o'clock, it's dark. That puts us out of the track probably 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, something like that. We'll be home early.
Exactly. So for the fans, it's going to be awesome. And like they said too, it helps the viewers on the East Coast. They're not watching race at what, 11 o'clock midnight.
Yeah, it's not keeping them up late into the night. So I think it's a really cool move. I'm stoked on it. And, you know, if you want to go to an after party, I have plenty of time. You know?
Perfect,
you
can,
little preseason buzz at the stadium and then moving on to wherever you're going.
Yep.
So let's jump right into the class, the riders here in the 450 class. And we're going to do a separate show for the 250 division, although it's a little bit more of a guess of who's racing that coast. Hasn't all been officially announced. But let's start with the guy that I think is on everyone's mind here, and that's Jett Lawrence. Has to be a favorite going in. And, you know, typically we would say, oh, he's a rookie. He's going to have rookie moments. He's going to crash. He's got to figure out how to ride the bigger bike. Look, with this new kind of pattern that riders are following, jumping into the 450 class in the summer for the Nationals, it gives you an opportunity to get comfortable with that bike, learn how to race against some of these guys that you've maybe looked up to for years. Mm-hmm. And he's got the Paris Supercross under his belt, which he won. The SMX final in LA, which was essentially a Supercross, didn't have whoops, but everything else, that was a Supercross race, and he waxed him. I mean, this is not your typical rookie.
Right.
I was worried that we maybe have a Jeremy McGrath situation going on here. We talked about this earlier in the 90s where you just showed up and he knew he was going to win. Everyone knew he was going to win, and it got a little boring.
Yeah.
And I hope we don't have that, but there is the potential for that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, let's face it, everyone knows he is the fastest guy on the track right now. He is. And I think there has been a little bit of the hate, but it's kind of like that love hate. Everyone loves him because how good he is on a bike, but then they're kind of hating him because he's dominating right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you know, I feel, Ping, that this year's going to be really interesting, you know, with Tomac coming back. He's been studying this kid all year round.
He has. And we were talking a little bit about that. Eli was determined to come back to racing back in May. Having spoke to his mother at that time, just literally a month after the Supercross season ended, he said, oh, Eli's pissed. She was telling me he's going to race. She goes, I can kind of, we're going to support him, whatever he does, but I can already feel he's like, no way I'm ending it like that. So I think this comeback was sort of, it's been brewing from the minute he hurt his Achilles. We'll get to him in a second. I want to touch on something else. So with Jett, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, we haven't seen him on a real Supercross track. Mm-hmm. We went out to shoot a feature with Dylan Ferrandis at the Honda test track. All of Team Honda was there, including Jett and Hunter. And I watched this kid ride, and yes, it's the Honda test track, and that doesn't mean everything.
Right.
But that's not even his track.
Yeah.
He rides down in Florida. This was a, you know, relatively new track to him. He was as new to that track as anyone else. He had a rhythm lane he was doing that no one else would try. He's smooth as butter. He looks like a seasoned veteran. And I'm just telling you, Eli, Chase, Cooper, all of these other guys, man, they are going to have to find another level mm-hmm. because Jet is there.
Yep.
And I don't think this is a typical Supercross rookie. Mm-hmm. He's going to win a lot of races. Is he going to win the title? I don't know. That is a huge ask of a rookie. But if anyone can do it, I think it's him.
Yeah, I think you're completely right on that, Ping. If anyone's going to do it their rookie year, Jet's already proven. I mean, with this past season, 2023, I mean, yeah, if anyone can do it their rookie year, it's going to be Jet.
Yeah. I bet he wins 10 rounds.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Yeah. Now, what does he get the title? Does he have a bad night and throw it away? Certainly possible. Supercross, 17 mm-hmm. rounds of it is brutal.
Yep.
I bet he wins 10 rounds. And the championship, I'm going to say, is a toss-up between a few different guys.
Right.
So let's talk about some of those other guys. And let's skip right down to Eli Tomac.
Okay.
Super pissed the way it ended last year. Mm-hmm. You kind of heard some chatter from people that have been to the track with him saying he is on it.
Yeah. Not going to say any names, but I have talked to some people that have been watching him very close. And there's this Tomac is when he gets on that, what do they call it? The
beast mode.
Yeah. And his beast mode, he's on beast mode right now. Yeah. And I feel he's going to start that season off in beast mode. And that's what I've been hearing from the people I've been talking to, that Tomac is, he wants to win this year.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't come back if he didn't think he was going to win, you know?
Yeah. And I'd be curious to talk to him. Eli's not super open book about this kind of stuff and feelings and thoughts, mm-hmm. but, you know, we watched Jet all summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he even admitted, like, it's impressive how much he won and how he did it.
Yep.
Eli knows what he's getting into. It's not like he's going to show up and be surprised that Jet's good or that Chase is good.
Mm-hmm.
He knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got to believe he's back there pushing his pace, trying to find another level himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really like his odds, knowing that this guy is a veteran. I mean, mm-hmm. he's the veteran of the class. And he knows how to be consistent now. I think up until even last year, you know, we had a lot of that hot and cold Eli when he was on the green bike. But since he went to Star, he's been calculated. He's been calm. We have seen some odd rounds where mm-hmm. he'll be a little off, but it's not a tenth.
Right.
Right. So if you're talking about a top 3 to 5 guys who could win this title, Eli's obviously at the very top.
Yeah. And just with his knowledge and his racecraft and just the way he can manage a race, I think that's where he's going to be able to get Jet right there. And like I said, Jet's the fastest, but we've seen in the past, we know some riders that have been the fastest on the track that haven't been able to execute a championship because they're almost like too fast on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
To where I feel like Eli's to the point where he's going to be in that beast mode, but he's going to be very smart when it comes to racing. And that's where I feel like he's been studying Jet all year round.
Yeah.
He knows where his, I don't want to say he has any weaknesses because he really doesn't, but I feel like Tomac's going to know when to capitalize if Jet makes a mistake, or, hey, look, if I can start in front of him, maybe that's going to, you know, maybe that will throw Jet's pace off a little bit. Because let's be honest, I mean, Jet, I mean, he was almost getting hole shots all season long.
He was. And one thing that we discussed earlier too, is that people have to get in and rub some elbows with him.
Yeah.
It seems like, and this happens with any rider that's excelling and kind of outclassing the field, when riders see him come and they kind of go, oh, well, it's Jet. I'm not going to mess with him or bump him. He's faster than me.
Right.
He's going to beat me. I'll tuck him behind him and see if I can learn some things. I don't think Eli's going to do that. I think that, what these guys need to do to Jet is go, nope, you're not passing me. And if that means coming in and pushing him off the track, making some contact, that has to happen. You have to establish not dominance, but at least let him know that he can't just breeze past you and la-di-da off to the checkered flag.
Right.
He's going to have to earn it, and he's going to have to be respectful.
Yep.
And I think that there's 3 or 4 guys, and we'll get to some of the other ones,
mm-hmm.
but Eli's on that list. They're not just going to let him cruise by.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, and I just think there's a lot of tension right now. And no disrespect to Jet. He's an unbelievable rider. But these guys are kind of getting tired of this Jet train. It's just jet, winning, yeah. winning. So I think this is the, I think this season so far is going to be one of the most exciting to, I know there's a handful of guys that want to beat that or stop that winning streak of jet.
Absolutely. They got some jet lag and they're here yeah. to stop it.
Yep.
Let's move on to the other guy who is a reigning champion and certainly got to be in talks when we talk about title contention. And that's Chase Sexton.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke to him out at the KTM introduction at the test track out there, RD Field. And I asked him point blank about the bike. I know a lot of people wanted to hear his thoughts on the Honda. What was the issue that he kept having? And, you know, a buddy of ours brought this up earlier. When you watched him crash, he would get up and he was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, whatever was going on in that chassis and particularly the front end, it was catching him off guard.
For sure.
And so whether that was him maybe just overriding it for the setup, just a feel on that bike that didn't work with the way he rode, he was able to go fast, but at times it would catch him off guard and he's down.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him specifically about that. He said, no, that feeling is gone on the KTM. He goes, now, just because that's gone doesn't mean we aren't going to have other issues. We found other things that need to be worked on. Early chatter is it's whoops, trying to get that bike to work in the whoops. And, you know, there's a lot of things about that KTM. I asked him this too. I said, you know, have you been working on carving tighter lines with the KTM? Because if you go back to Dungey,
yeah,
and then Cooper Webb on it,
yeah,
they would turn down lower than anybody.
Yep.
And you'd watch all the other guys running the main line, and those guys would just stay a little bit lower and able to carry yep. the same corner speed.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that front end was just on Velcro.
Yeah, it tracked very well.
So he said he's working. He goes, yeah, no, I've been paying attention to that. He's mm-hmm. well aware and been doing that. And he didn't say it directly, but it seems like whether that's steering rake, triple clamp offset, whatever it is that gives them that really tight turning radius, it makes it difficult to go through the whoops. And if you've seen that, it, you know, even triple clamp offset, or they'll have offset races that'll change the rake.
Yeah.
You can make it corner better, but everything's a give and take, right?
Right.
And so you start shortening that up, steepening it, it will turn better.
But then you're gonna.
But now in the whoops, it's a little bit less traction.
Yeah.
You struggle a little mm-hmm. bit more. So this was, you know, a month and a half out from the opener
mm-hmm.
when we were talking to him. I'm sure if there's issues, they've been grinding hard trying to get those figured out. Chase didn't do a lot of laps that day, mm-hmm. but he was putting sections together. Chase Sexton's fast, and yeah. that isn't going to change just because he's in orange gear.
Right.
Fastest qualifier at 14 of 17 rounds last year. Probably threw away 5 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Still ended up with the title due to attrition.
Right.
And I asked him, do you have something to prove? You know, and that wasn't really a loaded question, but you know that winning under those circumstances is not ideal.
Right.
You know, he would want to go toe to toe with Eli and yeah. beat him straight up.
Yep.
Now he's not going to turn down that check or the number one plate.
Yeah.
None of
yeah.
us would.
Yep.
But he said as much. I've got a lot to prove to myself and to everyone who thinks I was handed that title
mm-hmm.
that I deserve it. And
yeah.
I'm going to do everything I can to defend this title. What are your thoughts on Chase this year?
Yeah, I think with Chase and I've known Chase since amateur days. I feel like he's really feeling comfortable on this new bike, not only just the new bike, but just the change of scenery,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, just everything from just the way his kit looks. And I just feel like that's going to just give him this new fresh feel and just kind of just a restart of everything, you know? So, and I feel like he was kind of going through just getting in this routine of just kind of, I don't know if I want to call it bad luck, you know, but I feel like there needed to be a major change like this in order for him to kind of go to that next level. And like you said, I mean, like, yes, he won the championship, but he wanted to win it fair.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, I think he's going to work really hard. And I feel like he's going to be very comfortable on the new bike this year to be able to accomplish some wins.
Yeah, I do too. The problem with him going to a new team like this is it does leave a big question mark.
Right.
Is he going to show up me just as fast? Will he get out there and go, oh man, I'm totally uncomfortable.
Right.
Like I'm not gelling with this bike.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that's going to be the case.
Right.
But it is a question mark, and we have to address it. We can't ignore it. So a lot of questions to be answered, I think, at the opening rounds with him. And again, if we have a mutter at the opener, all bets are off, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That changes things up a lot. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next guy who is on a blue bike with Eli Tomac, and that's Cooper Webb. Big question mark here. You look at his transition late in the season to the Star Yamaha team, which was no big surprise. He had a lot of success there on a 250. Right. I think he feels like that was kind of home for him.
Yeah.
And he didn't love the program at KTM. He didn't like working, I don't think, at Alden's. It just wasn't a good fit for him.
Right.
And not that he didn't like the KTM guys. It was just the bike, and I don't think it was a great fit for him. And he still, last year, came out, and man, he fought for that title right to the end.
Yep.
And that's Cooper Webb, right? Like just one of my favorite guys because of his grittiness. This dude will dig in, especially if you doubt him, especially if he feels like he's got something to prove.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I love about Coop is you can never count him out.
No.
I mean, when you see a start of a race and you're like, okay, so the top five guys, like they're going to check out. Oh, Coop's back in like 11th. And all of a sudden, before you know it, halfway through the race, you're like, wait, Coop's already up to fifth place. He's catching these guys. So you can't count Cooper Webb out.
No. His determination's unrivaled. But I will say this. You can't deny the fact that he jumped over for the SMX playoffs. Mm-hmm. Didn't look great. Now, that wasn't to be, I wouldn't have expected him to look amazing, jumping right on a new bike and coming out and crushing it. I get it. I gave him some leeway for the SMX rounds. But then he had some time all through, that next month to get ready for the Paris Supercross. He went over there, and that wasn't really impressive either.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. It was kind of a shocker. You would think he would definitely have stepped up his game from the Super Motocross races that he did on the Yamaha for being on the new bike. But I still don't want to count him out, Ping. I think he's almost kind of saving it for this season. I feel like at the end of the day, Coop's a really smart racer. Mm-hmm. He's smart, and he's probably one of the most, and a lot can agree with me on this, he's one of the most mentally strongest riders out there. So I don't think this is going to affect him coming into the season. I think he used the end of this 2023 season to kind of relearn that bike, do a lot of testing. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in that top three spot coming into this next year.
No, I wouldn't either. And I absolutely won't write him off. I think he is a title contender, period. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned, I guess. Like, man, I wish I would have seen a little bit more out of him at Paris, even if it didn't last. Maybe he wasn't quite there with his fitness yet or something. But it was like he kind of was not in the hunt. And so it makes me worry a little bit. But like you said, I'm not counting him out.
Yep.
I'm anxious. I hope that he's up front because, like I said, he makes the storylines more interesting.
Yes.
This guy will fight you tooth and nail until that flag drops, and I love it. And then maybe fire some finger guns at you.
Yep.
I love it. All right, our next guy, Aaron Plessinger.
AP.
Gosh, he almost got that win last year. And I think it was the heartbreak of the season. You talk to anyone, everyone wants this guy to do well. He's just a great dude. Fantastic mullet. Mm-hmm. And I've got something here that no one's really picking up on, and it surprised me. We went to the KTM introduction, and Ian Harrison comes over, and we're chatting with him, and he says two things to me. He goes, man, it's my best South African accent. Oh, I'm really happy with Aaron. Oh, AP, he's on it. And I'm like, oh, really? And he was genuinely really stoked with what he saw in Aaron, because he had been back east for, a couple months doing boot camp and riding. And so when Ian saw him, he was like, oh, wow, like he looks really good. Now, maybe he's looked good in the past at times, but Ian saw something different.
Yeah.
And no one is picking up on this. This is the first time he's been Alden's primary rider. Mm-hmm. Alden Baker is pinning all of his hopes of winning a championship on Aaron Plessinger. He's got no other premier class riders.
Right.
Well, Malcolm.
And Christian.
Yeah. But I would say for a title run, race wins, I mean, AP is kind of the guy. He's the veteran. He would be the guy that And Alden likes to have that. He likes to have kind of one guy that's, you're my guy. We're going to go win.
Yep.
Now I'll bring all these other guys along, and not that he's shortchanging them, but
yeah.
If you watch Alden, there's always one guy.
Yeah.
If AP is getting that extra, whatever it is, that could mean all the difference, man. And even if it's in AP's head, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the guy down here now. I'm the senior guy. I'm the team leader.
Yep.
There's more of an expectation for me to win.
Right.
I think that is what we're seeing. Yeah. We're seeing him going, all right, it's time for me to shine. This is my time now. You know, there's no other Cooper Webb. All the other champions are gone. It's time for me to step up and be a champion.
Yep.
And man, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I think, and I've heard through some people that have been watching him ride. He's just unbelievable right now. And hey, Aaron Plessinger, A1, if it's rain.
The guy loves the mud.
He loves the mud.
Yeah.
He can ride it good.
Yeah.
So
I'm putting some asterisks next to guys who I think could really surprise us. If A1's mucky or muddy, he's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just confidence he's already got. And when it rains, which I could just never get in this headspace, you almost see him light up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's going to be muddy.
Oh yeah.
I love it.
He loves that stuff.
I was crying in the trailer when it was raining. Oh.
Yeah, like, do I have to go out there? Yeah. But I think just from his, you know, growing up doing the off-road racing he used to do, you know, I think he likes that challenge of when the tracks get super rutted out and gnarly. He likes that stuff.
Yeah.
So, and as you know, being a racer, when you have a positive mindset coming into a race, you're going to do good.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys, they see the weather, they're on their phones. Oh, it's supposed to rain at A1. And I've been around it before. I've seen some of these guys, top racers, like, hey, Bruce, it's going to rain. Oh my gosh, this sucks. The track's going to be horrible. Well, you've already almost lost a race because you're putting all those negative thoughts in your head to where AP's probably like, let it rain, you know? So it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was one of those guys that would just shrink up and lose the race before it even dropped. Let's move on. Next guy on our list is Jason Anderson. And this is in no particular order. We just sort of listed off guys that we think are going to be contenders. And Jason's a question mark for me, man. Not because he's not capable. This is another former champion. All these guys have at least 250 titles to their credit. Jason's a former 450 or premier class supercross champion. But he had a really bad year last year. In a season where I thought, okay, he's going to come out firing in 23. I really thought that. Mm-hmm. 22, he showed so much speed, just a little inconsistent. And he was hungry.
Yeah.
You could just see he wanted to be up on the box. And it just didn't work out last year. He was just, he just didn't look like he had that fire.
Right.
Now, some of the things that he said to media recently was that they really struggled with the bike.
Mm-hmm.
The 23 model, just anytime he tried to push past a certain level, it would spit him off.
Yep.
And I thought that was interesting because you normally won't hear riders do that.
Right.
But they have an all new model for 24. So maybe he felt like that was his chance to go, hey, that thing was holding me back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you rode our 24 at our Kawasaki introduction. Give me your take on what you thought of that bike.
Yeah. So, I feel the bike handled really well, turned really well. You know, it's hard for me to give my opinion about that model because obviously a works bike is going to be a whole different level. But I do feel from the 23 model, there was a lot of good changes they had made with just the chassis.
Mm-hmm.
The bike's very balanced. It handles really well. And I think Jason is happy with the 24 model from what I've been hearing from people. Something else I want to throw in there for Jason is he's got a new trainer for this season. And he's really stoked on, from what I've been hearing, the program that he's on. So Jason's one of those guys too. If things are feeling good for him and he's got good vibes, he's happy with the new model. I mean, he even told us at the, when I did the Cow intro, we saw him that day and he's like, dude, the new bike's insane.
The words I was hearing early on in testing was that just with very, very limited bolt-on parts to just get their bars, a suspension set up, an exhaust maybe, they liked that better than the 23 race bike.
Yeah.
So that's good, right? I mean, a lot of times we hear of teams taking the new model, they bolt on all their triple clamp suspension, everything from the previous year and go, okay, well, let's start here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they started at stock, right? Yeah. Like, let's start at the beginning and then slowly put things on piece at a time and do it the right way. That's really mm-hmm. the right way to do it, because just because something worked last year doesn't mean it's going to work on this new chassis. So yeah. I think they've done things right. It'll be interesting to see if he's got that fire. And like, to your point, when he's happy, a happy Jason Anderson is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious. I don't think he's much of a mud guy. So if it's a mudder, I wouldn't look for him maybe winning A1. But
yeah.
He needs a good year.
Yeah. And like I said, I think with his new trainer, John, I think they are a good fit for each other. And I think that's what Jason needs.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he's got good things. Got his kid. Yeah. Wife, you know, wife. Everybody's
and that was the happy. Other thing, too. Like, the season before, I believe that's when he had his first kid. So I just feel like there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And now that, you know.
A little more settled.
Right. So, he'll be an interesting one for this year.
Yeah. I think, to me, he's one of those guys that is a big question mark.
Yes.
But certainly the potential to be on the podium.
Yep.
And I think that's good for him if he mm-hmm. can get up on the box. But he could also, it could go the other way. So just got to keep an eye on Jason.
Yep.
Next guy on the list is Ken Roczen. And had a chance to ride his bike this year. And man, I was blown away. The progressive HEP Suzuki guys, man, whoa. They have just, and I got to give a lot of credit to Jamie Ellis at Twisted Development. The power delivery on that bike is unlike anything I've ever ridden, mm-hmm. which sort of went hand in hand with the handling of it. Incredible bike.
Yeah.
Just such a fun, easy to ride. Like, this bike just pushed you to ride it harder. It was mm-hmm. crazy. Really, really enjoyed that. What's your thoughts on Ken Roczen for this year?
Well, I'm going to be very interested to see how Ken does this year, because towards the end of this season, he really was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he really kept Jet honest. I mean, who knows with what happened at the round where Jet let him by. I know there was a lot of drama there. But man, let me tell you, Ken kept, he was there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I feel like he's going to definitely carry a lot of that momentum into this 24 season. So
I agree with you. Coming off a second world championship, which honestly, there wasn't a lot of competition there for him. Doesn't mean too much.
Right.
But looking back at that SMX finale, the playoffs, especially at LA,
mm-hmm.
well, really all the way through. But
yeah,
man, he kept Jet really honest.
And from what I remember, you might need to help me on this one, Ping. When he came in and did one of the outdoor nationals, I mean, he was
high point.
I feel like he was one of the only riders that really gave Jet a run for his money there.
He was, and he led a lot of the moto, eventually threw it away, probably just lacked some fitness and couldn't get the bike to start. It was kind of like a death blow for the Suzuki fans out there, because he sat and kicked and kicked and couldn't get it to go. But, as far as speed, definitely there. And it took Jet really pouring on the coals to get him.
Yeah.
Here's the other kicker. This guy, I'm going to put an asterisk next to his name, he can ride the mud.
For sure.
So if we get a muddy A1, which is what we're looking like, this is one of your guys that you need to look for to win the opener.
Yep.
And he's already a great starter, and his sprint laps early are better than anybody.
Absolutely.
Even Jet, you know, you watch Jet, his opening laps, even if he holds shots, they're very calculated.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really push a crazy pace right out of the gate. You'll watch him just kind of go around. He's looking at the track. He's getting a feel for it. And once he starts to get comfortable, then he picks it up and he's gone. Ken, very different. When the gate drops, he is 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. His opening laps, I don't think anyone's as good as he is.
Yeah. And that's key on a mud race, because you want to get out front and you want to try to check out as quick as possible and get out of the whole mess.
For the season, I think you're going to see Ken be a consistent top five guy. I think he's going to be on the box here and there. I think if we have rutted races, we get back to those East Coast rounds where it's sticky, ruddy, muddy, Seattle, that kind of stuff. We'll see good rides out of him. Potential for a win. I think it's a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
If he does, he'll certainly thank himself on the podium. So we get to look forward to that.
Yep.
Definitely some selfies and with shirts off.
And what about Kickstarter?
He'll have a Kickstarter. He's milking that for all it's worth. But this is a guy who could win the opener.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Malcolm Stewart. a lot of buzz about Malcolm right now too. And I know this is your guys, your buddies with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
What are you hearing out of the camp down there?
Man, you know, I just spoke with Malcolm recently at the team intro, and he said he's feeling it this year. You know, he's, you know, from his injury that he had, he is 110% right now, and he's ready to do this. So Malcolm's another guy. I mean, even in mud races, I've seen him do amazing. I mean, from what I remember, he hates mud races, but he always seems to really do well in them. But he's going to be fast this year.
Yeah,
he's going to be fast.
He's one of the guys I'm really excited about. If you remember at the opening rounds last year, he was fast.
Yeah.
He was looking really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, this is it. This is the year he's going to get a win. And like, this will be his breakthrough year.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up hurting his knee. And the original word was ACL. I guess it was pretty complex. Like MCL, mm-hmm. PCL. Like he kind of wrecked his knee.
Yeah.
But he's had a year now. It's been almost a year post-op and 100%. And we're hearing just, he's ripping.
From, like you said, from the little camp that he's part of down there in Florida, man, he's looking really good. I mean,
and we always get that chatter, right? That this guy looks great preseason. But when you start to hear it from multiple groups, there's something to it typically. And just knowing what he looked like last year, I just think he's hungry. He knows like it's time. It's time for me to make it happen.
Yeah.
Long overdue. He's got his brother and dad who've both probably great mentors for him, helping him sort of navigate it. So again, like probably one of those top few guys that I'm really keeping an eye on and excited to see. I think the potential's through the roof. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, Adam Cincirillo, let's move on to him. Again, didn't love that bike last year. I think all of those guys are kind of agreeing on that. His big problem, he's got a nerve issue that's been going on in his arm that's causing his hand to go numb. And funny enough, I've been dealing with the same thing. I had a little injury at the fire station, and I've got these two middle fingers and my whole hand at times going numb. And so I talked to him. I said, hey, man, like, what did you find out? And I don't know that we're having the same issues because the numbness is kind of a little bit different. But I'm telling you, he's tried everything. He told me he's tried from hyperbaric chambers, acupuncture, scraping, cupping, chiropractic, massage. He sits in this infrared thing. He's exhausted.
Yeah.
Options, stem cell injections. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Nerves are just kind of tricky. Yeah. And it seems like kind of where it's at is he dislocated that shoulder so many times. Maybe it's pulled on the end of those nerves and stretched them. And nerves don't react like bone or muscle or soft tissue like that. They're kind of just, they are what they are. They do what they want to do. And I'm finding that in my own thing. Mm-hmm. As we do rehab and we do different things, they're like, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it won't. You know? And I'm like, well, that's not really the answer I'm looking for. So in talking to Adam last year, he was not training and riding enough. Mm-hmm. He was trying to rest it and hope that that would help. It didn't. So he's like, screw it. I'm just going to ride and train like normal and we'll see what happens. So at least he will be prepped and ready. I think he's going to be in a better position than he was last year. Let's just hope that throughout the season, it
works.
Maybe it starts to get better for him. Everybody, you know, Adam's such a great dude. Everybody is a fan.
And that's where I got to say, I mean, regardless, Adam's still going to be one of the fan favorites. His personality is just amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Great dude.
Yeah.
So we're hopeful for him. And he's a decent mud rider, so he could come out at A1 and do okay there. Let's talk about Christian Craig real quick. He's a guy that, for me, I thought last year was going to be his year. He was so fast on that Star Yamaha in Supercross the year before, won the title. I thought, dude, he's going to move up to a 450, which he's already ridden a 450.
Right.
He's going to be on a factory Husky, man. He is going to just go. This guy's going to shock the world. And it just didn't materialize. He couldn't get comfortable on that thing. What are you hearing from him? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think one of his biggest things is he was really hard on himself. Mm-hmm. I feel just from what I hear from others and talking with him. I just feel like he was hard on himself and trying to learn that new bike. Cause like you said, coming, especially from the season he came from, winning a championship. I mean, Christian's got so much talent on a motorcycle. He reminds me of a Josh Hansen when he rides. Mm. And I just feel he needed a little bit more time to be patient to learn that motorcycle. Instead, he just beat himself up to where I feel that affected his race results. And I've seen that with him before, where if he has like a bad night, he'll be hard on himself and it goes really
just
bad.
Just mentally.
Yeah. So I feel he's in a really good place right now. Just for the program he's on right now with training and stuff. I feel like he's really clear with, you know, just with everything. I think mentally he's a lot stronger coming into this season. He feels really good on the bike. Same thing. And I feel like we're talking about this with a lot of the guys, but I mean, these are some good sources that we're getting this information from, Ping, that he's looking good as well. He's looking really good.
I don't know what his expectations are. What do you think would be a good opening few rounds for him? What is a good finish for Christian?
I think Christian, and I feel with him, is he's going to start off kind of being like in that top five. And I think it's going to take him, I would say you're going to see him at his best halfway through the season. And I feel like he's going to just keep progressing as the season goes, to where like you look at like a Tomac, a Jet, a Sexton, they're going to be shining right away, to where I feel like Christian, it's going to take him a little bit, which isn't bad. It's not bad. But I feel like he's going to really progress each round and you're going to see
him build.
Yeah. And I feel like you're going to see him on the podium.
Hmm. I think a podium is absolutely realistic for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see him, even if just settle in with a good top 10 at the right. opening couple and then just start building, just start stacking pennies.
And if he could just be patient with himself too. And what he needs to do is if he has a bad night, or if something goes bad, he needs to just brush it off. And, you know, Next weekend's a new race.
It's easier said than done.
It is.
You know, you got a lot of pressure on yourself. You've done all this work. And then it's easy to let the bad momentum start to pile on top of you.
And I think that's kind of a big problem that he had last year, is you come off from a great season. I mean, he lit the world on fire on that star bike and winning that championship. And I feel like the first couple races didn't go to plan for him. And just after that, it was hard for him to get out of that hole. So, but I believe in Christian. He's a great rider. I believe he can be on the top spot for sure.
I agree with you. It'll be another one to watch closely. A few more guys I want to talk about here. Justin Barcia. I'm going to put an asterisk next to his name.
Yeah.
The Gas TLD rider is a beast in the mud. He's won the opener multiple times.
Yep.
Which means to me, I always look at the guy that wins the opener. He's just good at handling pressure.
For sure.
I won the opener in the 125 class in 2000. And I just was in a headspace where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ride my best. And I don't know. I somehow got into a space where the pressure wasn't bugging me. Mm. And that wasn't normal. Typically at the opener, you're just a bundle of nerves.
Yeah.
You feel like you got to prove everything to everybody and yourself. And the guys that can figure that out do well at the opener. And he obviously, having won the premier class twice, he has that figured out. He loves the muck.
Yeah.
His mutter was a mutter.
Yep.
I think if it's a mucky mess, that's my guy to win the opening round.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you on that, Ping. I mean, like you said, I mean, he deals with pressure very well. I feel like he feeds off pressure. I think he likes that, you know, like when guys are on him, he just gets on it. Or when he comes up to guys, I mean, obviously everyone can hear Barcia coming. But yeah, I think he's going to be one of those guys that could win the opener.
Yeah. And I think this is, he's a guy who can be solid top 10 all year, but, those muddy rutted races where he really shines.
Yeah.
And, wouldn't surprise me to see him steal a win at the opening round. Colt Nichols, man, big question mark here on this guy with the brand new Beta Racing team. And I love Colt. Great guy. I'm always pulling for him because he's such a nice dude, very down to earth and very talented. Mm-hmm. Again, we go back to him on his 250 days with that Star Racing team. He was a beast.
Yeah.
Has not had a lot of success since moving up. Just a lot of injuries have really plagued him. Even last year at Honda, there was injuries he had going on that he wasn't really talking about that, right, that hampered his whole season. And they were fighting through that all Supercross season long. Can he be top 10? I mean, what, he and Benny Bloss, where do you put these guys? Brand new bike, brand new team. That is a tough spot to be in.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to say. It really is, Ping. I mean, I've seen what the Beta can do on the off-road side of things. I've got to ride a Beta. It was an off-road model. But I feel like the bike was a really good bike.
Yeah.
So I'm really up in the air about this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause Colt is a very talented guy. Even with what he had to deal with, you know, at Honda, I mean, he was still in that top 10 mix.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I'm going to be honest. I don't know enough information on, I haven't really heard anything about.
It's been quiet.
Yeah. So with him and Benny, I don't know how they've been feeling on the bike, how the bike is. I just don't have enough information to, you know, other than the fact that Colt's he's a very talented rider. So I don't know. I don't know where to put him at.
I think the struggle he's up against is that this team, even though there's folks on there who have some Supercross experience,
mm-hmm,
they have no notes. They have nothing to go off of. So they're showing up to Anaheim going, all right, we're just taking it as it happens and having to react. Where other race teams that have been around for years and years, they can go, okay, when we show up to Anaheim, it's typically the bikes react like this. So oftentimes we've done this, let's be ready for that. You know, they can be a little more proactive with,
mm-hmm,
with setup or whatever. I think it's just harder for these guys as a first time team. It's just going to be a learning curve.
Yeah.
And they do have competitive stuff, even in GP racing, off-road, those guys kill it. Beta is a very capable brand, but they're going to have a learning curve in Supercross.
Yep. I agree with you on that.
Okay. One guy, Bruce, that we need to talk about here, who's a dark horse for sure coming into the season, a lot of question marks, but I feel pretty good about where he's at. And that's Dylan Ferrandis.
Yeah.
So kind of weird deal at Star Yamaha. He wasn't super happy with the bikes. Didn't feel like he got comfortable ever last year. Their offer to him wasn't what he thought was acceptable. So he was ready to retire.
Yep.
And enter Ziggy from Factory Connection and the folks at Phoenix Honda. Mm-hmm. They put together a program for him. We went out and watched him at the test track, did a little piece with him there. And he said, hands down, it's the best he's ever felt in Supercross. Most comfortable he's ever been. Watching him and looking at lap times, he sat somewhere between Jett and Hunter. So super competitive. And this was early on. So that was, you know, probably a month ago. I think that if Dylan gets comfortable, Dylan starts building and getting confident, this is a guy that can be on the podium, even in this field.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ping. Like you've said too, he feels very comfortable on the bike. I think he has a really good group of people behind him for this program that he's on. And hey, same with him. I feel like he could be a really good mud rider for A1.
Yeah, French guys know how to ride the mud. They grow up in that stuff. You're right. This is another guy that if he's on the podium at the opener in a muddy opener, I'm not surprised at all. And I would be like, yep.
From, you know, me watching Dylan in the past, once he gets that momentum, it's hard to slow him down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When he won his 450 outdoor title, I don't know about you. I was blown away.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
He was just hungry for it. Mm-hmm. And I think he just got on a roll and it started building.
Yeah.
He was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd love to see that again this year out of him. I really love the way he rides when he's confident, super, super aggressive. At times it's a lot even, but I love to see that especially out of a 450 guy. And this program reminds me a lot of Mike LaRocco at the Factory Connection team back then, which is really the start of the Factory Connection, which turned into Geico Honda, which you were a part of.
Yep.
A lot of Ziggy involvement in terms of chassis and suspension development.
Yeah.
Factory Honda is giving him works parts. So he's got, the equipment is there.
Yes.
It will be, there's nothing he will be lacking.
Yep.
And I think for him, just that's all he needs. Mm-hmm. And for him also, I think being outside of a regular team environment will be good for him. I don't think he really gelled with other other guys in the team. I think him being just on his own.
Yeah.
That, good for his head.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to mention to Ping is the fact that he's just kind of, I mean, I know they have a 250 rider part of the program, but for him being like that only 450 guy, I think that's what he likes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really good for him.
Well, let's keep an eye on him. He's definitely a threat for this year. Last guy I want to just mention, and this doesn't mean that there aren't other guys capable of coming and doing well, but Justin Hill. Podium at the end of last year. Now, it was a pretty thinned out field.
Right.
But he's back with Team Tedder Racing. We had chats with him over the last several months. I've seen him a couple times here locally, and he looks great. I mean, he's just such a smooth, technical rider. And he says he's way ahead of where they were last year with the bike. Mm-hmm. So when I hear that from a guy, I'm like, okay, to me, being comfortable on that bike equates to confidence, which equates to better results. Now, unfortunately, he's diving into a stacked group of guys, and it's going to be tough to even get into the top 10. But I think he's a dude that's capable of being 8 to 10 right out of the gate.
Yeah. And Justin, I mean, that kid, I feel like he's, believe it or not, he's probably one of the most fit guy out there. That guy knows how to train. So, and he knows how to ride a motorcycle, that's for sure. So, yeah, you can't count him out.
I'm not going to do it. I'm stoked to see him. He's another guy I'm going to be keeping a close eye on. So as we wrap this up here, we're looking ahead to the Anaheim opener of the 2024 SMX season. Give me your top three if you had to predict it at the end of the year.
End of the year, I'm going to go Tomac, Jet, Sexton.
Oh, man. Okay. That's a solid pick. I don't think anyone would argue that. I think I'm going to go with Eli as well. Oh, this is tough. I'm going to put Cooper Webb up there, though. I'm going to say Cooper Webb third.
Okay.
Eli, Lawrence, Cooper Webb. And man, shame on me for not picking Chase. If he wins this title, it wouldn't surprise me. But I got to pick three, and those are the three guys I think you're going to be up there at the end.
Hey, Ping, before we end this, there's someone, though, we kind of forgot to mention. The 111.
You know what? There's a couple guys, actually. Let's talk about Hunter Lawrence, too.
Oh.
Yeah, we got Hunter Lawrence moving up to the 450 class. Again, I'm not sure where to put him. He did great in Paris on that bike. He's certainly experienced and capable. I think he's going to have sort of a typical rookie season.
I agree.
Top tens.
Yeah.
Fifth to tenth. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I put him. Solid season. I think for him, a successful year. You know, maybe get close to that podium, but stay inside the top 10 and get through 17 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do that. That's a great year for Hunter, and he can build.
Yep.
That's kind of how he does it. He's a little more methodical, a little step by step.
Yep.
To your point, the 111, Jorge Prado. Tell me what your thoughts. I saw a video clip of him yard sailing in the Whoops the other day.
Yeah. I mean, he's a world champ.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if coming in the second round, from what I hear, he's only doing
three. First three rounds.
So, I mean, there's a reason why he's a world champ. And I don't care if he hasn't really had much on a supercross track. At the end of the day, he knows how to ride a motorcycle. And I don't know. I could see him being up there.
No, this guy's tougher than leather work boots, man. I've watched him go toe-to-toe with Herlings and not even flinch.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
His mental strength. We talk about mental strength in certain guys, and I've only interacted with him a handful of times, but it just comes off of him.
Yeah.
He's very confident. He's not arrogant. I actually think he's a really cool guy, but you can just feel the confidence in himself. And he said himself, he says, look, I'm not win top 10, top five. He goes, I don't have any expectations. I just want to see if I like it.
Yeah.
See if it's a fit for me. Now, I'm telling you, when all bets are off is if this is a mudder at the opener.
Ooh.
He can ride the mud.
He sure can.
There's no doubt he can ride the mud. Yeah. Now, Supercross is a weird animal in the mud. Is it so mucky that you're rolling everything?
Right.
Do they have it figured out where you can still jump the triples? Does that bite him?
Right.
It's a lot of questions with him, and I don't have the answers. Here's my hope. I hope that he goes out and he enjoys it and he has fun and he shows a little bit of speed and potential here and there and goes, okay, I can figure this out. Yep. I'm coming back. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I just want Prado over here full time. Results wise, man, I don't know. Denny Stevenson was adamant he will not see the top 10 in those three rounds. I don't believe that. I think 8th to 15th is where I put him. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
8th to 15th for him, great.
First time, yeah, no absolutely. Problem.
But with the mud, I don't know, man. Maybe he's inside the top 5.
Yeah.
You know, mud's a great equalizer. And for a world champion, those guys live in the mud.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't surprise me to see him do really well. Anyway, thanks for catching that.
Yep.
A couple of last minute guys there. There's a lot of guys. This is going to be a stacked field. We say that every year, but it's going to be deep. If you guys don't have your tickets for A1, get tuned in to watch it on television. Remember that it is starting earlier. 5 o'clock is a gate drop for the first heat, Pacific Standard Time. So adjust accordingly. That means you guys on the East Coast don't have to wait up till the middle of the night. It's going to be a great season. Bruce, thanks so much for joining me. Yep,
thank you.
Stick around. We're going to have a 250 class preview, a sight lap for that. And then every round this year, we will have a sight lap show and also a riders meeting post-race show where we break down everything that we saw from racers' perspectives and give you guys some feedback and some things to look for as we keep moving through the season. Stoked for it. Really excited for the 2024 SMX World Supercross Championship and the playoffs and everything that come with it. So thanks for watching. We'll see you guys soon.